Blog Talk just started.
Okay.
Good morning to Blog Talk. Good morning, everybody here. We are so excited to have you, and it's about to go live. So I'm patiently waiting for the live to come live on Facebook. For those of you who will be watching on Facebook, you can just see this illustrious group of people who are with us, and I am waiting for the signal. Those of you that are doing virtual, you know this. We're just waiting for the signal. Yes, we're live, but we are live on Blog Talk. We are live on Zoom. We are live here in our around our table with my masterminders. It's with pure joy that we're here today. You all are going to be in for a treat. I'm going to be repeating this intro as soon as we're live. But let me just start with, I wanted to thank the behind-the-scenes people who make us all look like we're stars before we even begin. And that is Doretha Dennis, who's handling our Blog Talk Radio, and Laverne Blackwood, who's our producer extraordinaire, and have pulled everybody together. So this is Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. Now, you all know something about Think and Grow Rich and our mastermind. These people are my real live mastermind. We are not doing this for all of you. Well, we are doing it for you, but we're doing it for us. We grow every time we do this on Saturday. We're so glad that you're here at 8 o'clock every Saturday morning where we think and grow rich in life, in business, in money, in spirit, in soul, in laughter, in love, and joy. We are in a treat today because we have Lucky Henry, J. Lucky Henry. J. Lucky Henry, who is debonair, dashing, determined, focused. He is absolutely, positively someone that's living the Think and Grow Rich lifestyle, is absolutely and positively making sure that he is stepping up, and he chose to be part of this mastermind today. You know, he was walking around the table. Here we were sitting around having our chat around the table. And here's this dashing man who's goal-oriented, extremely creative, a problem solver, walking by our table. He absolutely opened his first brokerage firm at age 30. And listen to this, is closing on selling $1 billion in real estate by his 35th birthday. He's the author of the book Switch Gears and the creator of the world's first ever real estate mixtape. Now, he's a man after my heart because he's got a mixtape going on, and you know that I just love to move and groove with the music and the ideas and affirmations. I'm hoping that's what's included, and we'll find out more about that. Lucky used his innovation and versatility to educate people about real estate through whatever medium resonates with him. Now, he's a man who has touched my heart because he believes we will need to familiarize ourselves with more cultures and be able to communicate in more than one language, demonstrating that he is more than ready for his impending reality. This man is fluent in over 5 languages and familiar with over a dozen different cultures. He's totally part of our mastermind, and we are live on Facebook. Thank you, Ann McNeil, for getting us there. So those of you that are joining us on Facebook, we have a show for you, everybody here. This is the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind Show, sponsored by Think and Grow Rich Masterminders Association, where you can be accountable, you can learn about being an amazing masterminder yourself, and I get the joy to introduce to you my masterminders. We meet, you see us live on Saturdays. What you don't know is we also meet on Wednesday mornings at 6:30 a.m. to mastermind ourselves. So we meet together twice a week. We do not look this pretty when we are on Wednesday morning, just saying this is live. We try to make ourselves look pretty. So let me introduce to you some of my masterminders, and as you're walking through this area and you see us sitting around the table, always know you can stop by and join us. We really want to hear you chat with us, post on Facebook, share your insights. Just join us at the table. Let's mastermind together. So first, let me introduce you to the magnificent Ursula Odom. Now, Ursula, we're talking about decision today in the book, Think and Grow Rich. We're talking about making decisions. Ursula Odom is publisher, provocateur, amazing, interesting woman of substance, looking at generational impact and about our history. Sula, Ursula, share about Sula too, and share.
Good morning, and thank you for that. Yes, I am Sula too. Well, actually, I'm Ursula Odom. I'm the CEO of Sula too, and we make all new in everything that we do. And I got a little bit mentally distracted because I'm excited about today. Let me tell you what I really got packed in here. With lucky and all of those wonderful things we've heard so far, I want to know whose spirit is riding with you that you can position yourself to make the kinds of decisions that you make. I want to hear about that. And also, one of the things that are important to me is that organized planning, that's what has been important for me to be able to position myself to make decisions, because when you plan what you want, then when the opportunity comes, you can decide. So that's what I'm excited about talking about today as we make old new in everything we do.
I love that line, making old new. Can you just say that one more time for the people to just respond to that?
Sula too, we make old new in everything we do.
You know, that's a decision that you made, a decision that is impacting generations, and thank you so much for doing that. Then we, you know, I look at Galen's look, and just so you all, can you just please notice it's Saturday morning, and he has a pocket square. And so he, you know, I'm going to call, I love my people, I love my mastermind, but I love to call about too, because when he's sort of lucky looking spiffy, Galen went back to being his spiffy self, going from cash on Saturday to this man is such an executive coach for CEOs worldwide. He influences people and has the elegance of a smooth-talking jazz singer and DJ and the brilliance of one of the top CEOs in the world. So, hey, Galen.
Good morning, good morning. And yeah, Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist. I'm CEO and founder of Kill Global Coaching and Consulting. And yeah, Jay Lucky, you kind of upped my game this morning. You know, I couldn't have you have the tie, the jacket, and the pocket square. I'm like, come on now. Yeah, I'm really, really excited about this chapter because it's kind of, for me, it's kind of linking a couple of other things that I'm focused on right now. We've talked a little bit in the past about our invisible board of directors, and two members of my invisible board of directors is Bruce Lee and Miles Davis, and I'm actually going through the autobiography of Miles Davis, and one of the things that I'm really drawn by is something that's referenced on page 150 in this version of the book, where it says, the majority of people who fail to accumulate money sufficient for their needs are in general easily influenced by the opinions of others. And then if you drop down, it says, if you are too easily influenced by the opinions of others, you will have no desire of your own. And that is one of the things that's really coming through loudly and clearly, as if Miles were talking specifically to me. You know, he used a lot of really colorful language, but at the end of it, it was, who cares what other people think? You've got to do you. You've got to respond to that spirit inside of you. And so that, for me, is where my head's at. That's coming straight from this chapter on decision. And to achieve many of the things that we've seen in Jay Lucky's bio, he has to have come to that point in his life as well. So I'm really going to be excited to hear about that and share that with the rest of the Think and Grow Rich world. So thank you, and let's get it going.
Oh, Galen, we've already been going. What you just said filled my soul, and I could feel it. You know, it's one of the things that I love about our mastermind is you say something that goes, that this is what it's about. So thank you. And, you know, Peter,
You are a man who has lived your life also from being you and immersing yourself in leadership and success. Can you, what is that you in decision, and what about you?
Yeah, wow. Good morning to you, Peggy. Good morning to my colleagues and our distinguished guests and all of you who are listening in this morning. Excited to be here. My name is Dr. Peter James. I am the High Performance Coach, encouraging you to shift your mindset and realize your potential. Wow, these chapters, and especially this chapter that we're going into today in decision, conjures up a lot of feeling, a lot of thinking for me. And I think a lot of times in our world today, indecision is a part of many people's lives. And you ask yourself, why is that? Especially when you have options, when you have choices, why not just make a decision and go with it? But the decision and execution phase of it escapes many, many people. And I honestly think a little bit has to do with what Pagin mentioned earlier, having people around you to level you up, help you go to that next level. And I mentioned it to someone this past week as this. You know, those of you who are love to go to the gym or love to work out or just even walk for that matter, it's the gains, the goals are much more easily achieved when you have someone with you. So think about going to the gym by yourself, but now thinking about having a gym buddy with you. Where are the most times you are accomplishing your goals? More times than not when you have people around you. I'm lucky enough, no pun intended, to have a great mastermind around me that you all are looking at, that you all are listening to. And I encourage you all to have that so that you can make better decisions and that you can execute on them the same way as well. So, again, that's what I got.
I so appreciate what you said. And you are uniquely you. And one thing we've learned about is you've made some extraordinary decisions, like making us go to speaker view. And I think that you are so awesome, but I don't know that everybody knows you. So how has this decision, this part, make a difference?
Wow, the game, Ann McNeil, the master builder. Oh, I just love this. Helping entrepreneurs get greater clarity in their highest income producing areas of their business and their life. That includes profit. Again, this chapter on decision for me is so pivotal. I would like to just share something that Galen kind of kicked it off from the book. But one of the areas on page 151, the author says, tell the world what you intend to do, but first show it. And that is a decision to take action. And for me, the decision that I made in 1979, 9 p.m., December 31st, to pick up this book and take action, the decision that I made to leave my corporate job, the decision that I made to start an international mastermind association, I just think back, we had a guest on that talked about the impact our lives make. And so I want to challenge all of our listeners to think about the decision that you must make as you listen to the show today, that there are people who will only hear your voice. And that decision that you are not making could impact the lives of millions. And so that's what we're all dealing with today, and that's what we're very excited about sharing as a part of our mastermind of Thinking Your Rich Philosophy. So thank you for being.
I love this, and I love, you know, boy, just each one of you just makes such a great segue when we go into this. One of our people in the Zoom who is participating on the Zoom wrote, from David Emanuel, I'm working on having people around me, but the fear of people's input tells me something won't work, keeps me alone. And this is a perfect segue to go to Lucky because, you know, Lucky, I dare say that in your lifetime, you've been alone at times pursuing your goals with intention, with clarity and vision. how has Decision and Think and Grow Rich, tell us a little bit about your story, about how that was wrapped in, because I think the aloneness, we are all loners as we pursue our desires, and we are all connected because we are desiring people, right? So put yourself on, unmute yourself.
I can see that. Thank you. Well, first, thank you guys for having me, right, for letting me sit at the cool kids table this weekend, right, instead of being alone by myself, like, over there. But as far as being alone and, like, having the right people around you, before I even, like, go into anything about me, that is honestly one of the things that I think I struggle with, like, and I won't speak for anybody else, just like myself, definitely struggle with, because you want to be around people. You want those positive people. And if you don't find the positive people, sometimes you might want to settle for the most positive that you have around you. And that can be dangerous, right? Because there, you can see some of the qualities, but it's not all there. They just happen to be the best around. And you start settling for that. And that's the place where you really don't want to be, right? So it's set the bar, I guess, is without giving advice too much, but like set the bar for what you want is what I would say. Like what characteristics they need to have, and don't negotiate on that. Like don't split the difference. Just be there. Like, this is what they need to have. Otherwise, it's not a prime person, right? It's not someone that I'm going to put a lot of my time around, because it's, everyone you spend time with is going to influence you in some way, right? And vice versa. So
I love what you're saying. Of course, I'm thinking about marriage. You know, that who you are when you first get married and who you are after you've been married for 36 years, mm-hmm. you know, the constant pressure of raising the bar for each other, for yourself. So I do want to hear about you and Decision. But I want to first hear is, how are you drawn to Think and Grow Rich? Because Galen's going to be reading a little while, The 13 Principles. So, but how did this book get into your hand, and how does that impact, and who were you then, and who are you now because of it? Now, of course, you do the short.
So, this book was first entered my life in 2011, freshman going into sophomore year of college. And I looked at it, I said, this is an interesting book. And I had a bookshelf of books, and I put it on the bookshelf. And I was like, I'll probably get to this next month. I didn't get to it for 4 years, right, before I actually got to it. But when I did get to it, I was happy but also upset with myself. I'm like, you were doing some of these things, but if you were doing all of these things, you might have already accomplished some of the goals that you wanted. And so when I did read the book finally, and I half read, half audiobook. I'm a millennial, so it was half and half, right? As I did go through all the book, I came out more focused, okay, it's kind of like having the answers or a blueprint, right? And saying, like, if you don't deviate from this, it'll work. It's not a maybe. When you're trying it on your own, you're like, I hope maybe this will work, maybe it's not. You have confidence, right, and you try it on your own, but other people can influence you and get you to doubt yourself. But when you have, like, a blueprint like this that literally says, just do this, and you have self-confidence to say, okay, I'm just going to do this. I can do it. You read what it says and you say, I can do that. Then it'll transform your life. You might not change, like, maybe you grow as a person, but, like, it doesn't change who your core is, but it helps you and your business and your potential grow in whatever you're doing. So in the beginning of this, before reading this book, I was an athlete who had a business mindset. After reading this book, a businessman who liked doing sports, right? That would probably be the big switch for me after this.
I think that we all relate to those that shift, that piece. But I'm gonna ask Galen if you would read the 13 principles. And Lucky, I want you to be listening to him as he talks about the 13 principles, because we really want to be able to bring you in, and you know, like, how did these principles influence you learning five languages, and how did it make you want to sell $1 billion of real estate? And not for anything, you are a young personality, which is ticking off some of us older personalities, as we found, you know, we're still learning it. So we really want to learn from you. I think that every one of us knows we can learn from you through the Think and Grow Rich. So thank you for being here. Galen, can you just share the 13 principles so everybody, we're all on the same page of Think and Grow Rich?
Yeah, so not only are there 13 principles, I'm actually pulling from this particular book. So this is the book that we're all reading from. And the reason why I point that out is because the book is so ubiquitous that you can have different versions, and the content will be the same, but the name of the chapters and the layout might be a little different. This particular book, it starts with the author's preference. And, you know, every time I read a book like this, I usually jump right to chapter one. That is a gigantic mistake when it comes to this book, because the author's preference talks about kind of why he wrote the book, the reason behind and the desire for writing the book. The introduction, another area that I usually skip, but here he talks about the different people that he referenced, that he interviewed, that he looked at, that he tried to pull insights from in order to build these principles. So just really, really a good place to understand the richness of where the information is coming from. Chapter 2 starts talking about the first principle, which is desire. That is the turning point of all achievement. Everything comes back to desire. You've got to really have a desire for something that you're wanting to achieve, whether it's money or anything else. Chapter 3 is faith, which is the visualization and belief in the attainment of desire. Chapter 4 is auto-suggestion, which is the medium of for influencing the subconscious mind. Really, really important chapter, because we start to understand how much we talk to ourselves. And if you're not careful, you could be saying negative things to yourself, and your subconscious mind is going to act on that. Or you can choose to say positive things to yourself and let your subconscious mind work on that. You literally have the power, and a lot more power and choice than a lot of times you might think. The next chapter is specialized knowledge, which is personal experiences or observations. We learn that general knowledge is important, but unfortunately the world doesn't pay you for general knowledge. So specialized knowledge is really, really important, and that chapter discusses that that topic. Imagination, which is the workshop of the mind, talk about how that's important in that chapter. Organized planning, which is the chapter that we just focused on a couple of weeks ago, is the crystallization of desire into action. It's one thing to have desire. Desire is really, really important, but you need to have a plan for making that desire a reality. You know, there's a lot of different systems that you can use, but all those systems have find their foundation in some of the principles that Napoleon Hill outlined. Today we're talking about decision. This is the mastery of procrastination. Once you've made a decision, then things start to show up that will support you. Decision is literally derived from the Latin word meaning to cut off all other options. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Chapter 9 is persistence, the sustained effort necessary to induce faith. Because unfortunately, you can have all these great principles, you can understand what to do, but that's not going to make it easy. You've got to stay with it. You've got to decide that this is something that I'm going to continue to work on, and that's persistence. Chapter 10, you've heard us talk about already quite a bit, is the power of the mastermind, which is the driving force. You've got, as Dr. Peter said, you've got to have people around you to support you in your weak places. And to challenge you in your strong places, and that's what that chapter talks about. How do you find those people, as Jay Lucky said, how do you find those people that will support you in the right way? And then chapter 11 usually brings a smile to everyone's face. The title of it is The Mystery of Sex Transmutation, and it's not so much about the physical act of sex as it is about the mental approach, and how can you apply that same mental approach, that mental energy, to achieving and attracting the kind of success that you have put the focus and put the desire, put the persistence against? How do you use that same energy to make that happen? Chapter 12 is the subconscious mind, and that's the connecting link. That chapter really talks about the fact that your mind is always working. and how can you make sure that you use the mind to work towards achieving the goal that you want to achieve rather than meandering around focusing on anything that might come along. So really important. Chapter 13 is the brain, which is the broadcasting and receiving station of thought. And this is starting to get into this area where you've understood the technical aspects of what's going on. Now you need to just let your brain kind of take over and draw to you the information that you're needing and the inspiration that you're needing. The sixth sense is the door to the temple of wisdom. And that's how do you tap into that little extra thing that the infinite is telling you, that the universe is telling you, that it doesn't really seem to connect to anything. It's just a spark of inspiration. And many of us get those inspirations. The key is, do you act on it? Or do you dismiss it as just a crazy idea, just a crazy thought? That is the last principle. And as I've said before, that's usually where I stop when I'm reading a book. I usually stop at the last chapter. But there is this section in the epilogue where he really gets into the details of the support behind what you've just read. One area in particular, he talks about how to outwit the sixth ghost of fear. Really, really important, because fear is something that all of us struggle with. And if you're not careful, you have a tendency to think that your fears are real and that they're real barriers and they are real reasons not to pursue this thing that you believe you were put here to do. And he gives you some encouragement, some thoughts, some suggestions as to how to overcome that. So those are the key principles that we are all dedicated to, focused on, and every day I get evidence that this is more than just a book, and it really is the key to achieving success in any field that you desire to focus on.
And I thank you, Galen, because that's so important. And, you know, Lucky, you made a couple of decisions that I just have to speak on, and then I'm going to throw it to Ursula, because the question that I have to ask you is this concept of, first, how many, I know you speak five languages, but you felt compelled to identify cultures, and I want to know the synergy between the cultures and the desire and what those languages were, and then how that melded into your real estate. Like, that's a significant decision. Can you talk to me about that? Tell me the story, why, and then Ursula, I know you're going to go and talk about culture and stuff with them. So, Bucky, share.
Absolutely. I grew up in Aruba, right? A super small island. A lot of people think of it as this great vacation island, which it is, but people actually live there. Not many of us, but some of us actually live there. And the school system there gives you packages. After sixth grade, going into middle school, you actually choose, like, what type of curriculum you're going to have. Are you going to do, like, a econ, history, math type curriculum? Are you going to do, like, a romance language type thing kind of thing? And I remember looking at it, and Aruba is very much a melting pot, a lot of tourists, a lot of different cultures. And I said, there's a lot of people on this island that speak languages I don't speak. So I want to keep up, right? Going into seventh grade. And I said, I'm going to learn that one. I remember my parents saying, what are you going to do with that? I said, I don't know yet, but I just know there's a lot of people that are speaking other languages, and I want to make sure that I felt I have a FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. I was like, they're talking about something. I don't know. I want to learn it. So that was the decision I made. I was learning it. No idea that it was going to turn into being useful in real estate, right? No idea I was going to be selling real estate. I just knew that's what it was. When I got to college, I had a feeling I was going to be able to use it when I decided I was going into advertising. I was like, okay, I'm going into advertising. I should bring those languages back, because when I moved to American high school, I didn't really do the languages that much. I was kind of just focused on playing football. But I said, I can use these languages combined with the advertising and have like a global advertising firm. That was actually my thought process. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to graduate. I'm going to work with international brands. And that was the plan. So that's why I kind of focused on languages. And as far as cultures go, it's because I like meeting people, right? From a certain time of the day, like from sunrise to sunset. After that, I want to be alone. But from sunrise to sunset, I like meeting new people. And I feel like it's really, really important to, like, respect people's cultures. And to understand, like, not to accidentally offend someone. So I was very keen on, like, how do people from this island say hello versus that island? How do people from this part of the world say hello versus that island? Like, what's considered respectful, what's not? I remember the first thing that really tweaked it for me was in different parts of, like, Asia, where making noise as you eat wasn't considered disrespectful, but, like, my mom would go upside my head if I did that at my house. So I was like, just that right there, I was like, whoa, there's parts of the world that's considered, like, oh, I'm enjoying the food, versus here it's, like, disrespectful. I was like, I don't want to ever be, like, go there and not make a sound and have them think I don't like their food. I want to make sure I'm aware of what's going on in the world. So that's when I really decided to focus on it in a lot of cultures.
You know, it's a good thing that I was on mute, because I was just, like, making lots of sounds. And, you know, so Ursula, I know you're eager to just jump in, so.
Well, I am, but it's like, where do I really start? Now, when I first talked about what I wanted to hear, it now has grown to, I don't know how much time he has to tell us about this, but one of the things that I am a firm believer of is that even though we're individuals, we carry with us the DNA, the spirit of people that are a part of our culture, our own personal families. And sometimes we are not aware of those people. Like, the thing that I'm thinking of is there were two cousins that did not know each other. And I was able to pick out that they were cousins. The cousin had to actually call her father to find out if the person I was talking about was her cousin, and they were. So they were not around each other when they were young, which meant that they didn't get this personality from their parents. It had to come from their grandparents. They had common personalities, the way they moved, the way they talked, to the point where I could identify them. So I say with that is that we're walking around with people's personalities, people's spirit, that we either know or don't know. And so for you to be so wise, so young, you hit the ground with a whole bunch of inside you. Somebody may have been whispering to you when you were a baby, but who impacts your life to your knowledge and how?
To my knowledge, two people that impact my life big, Toussaint Louverture and Malcolm X, right? Toussaint Louverture, just the ability to never accept your circumstances the way they are, and Malcolm X, the ability to communicate whatever you want to communicate effectively, like a gentleman, no matter what the situation.
That's it?
I mean, there's more. I don't know.
Boom, there it is, right?
Yeah, it is. So then I will take it a little bit further.
Okay.
What were you like when you were a little kid?
Ooh, how little is little?
As little as you can remember.
Or you were in trouble, little. The one that
That one. I was full of energy as a kid. Still am full of energy. And that energy didn't always translate into productivity. It translated into, I'm going to run around the house 10 times now screaming, because why not? Nothing's wrong. Nothing happened. I got energy, and this is what I'm going to do. And then I get told to go outside, and I decide I'm going to run around the neighborhood 5 times screaming. And, like, I had a lot of energy as a kid, and I also was very I didn't take things seriously, right? As a young kid, I didn't take anything seriously. It was – everything was just a game. Everything was from school to the sports we played. Everything was just, why not? We're having fun. Like, why would it be serious? And it only got serious if you told me that there was a test or a score. Like, if I was being graded on it, then I wanted to perform well. But if it wasn't for a grade as a kid, I couldn't be bothered with it. I didn't take it serious at all.
Then finally, I'm going to read from the book. On page 160, it says, those who reach decisions promptly and definitely know what they want and generally get it.
Mm-hmm.
The leaders in every walk of life decide quickly and firmly. That is the major reason why they are leaders. The world has the habit of making room for those individuals whose words, actions, and actions show that they know where they are going. I wrote in the margins, life assembly line. So what is that assembly line for you? How does this decision-making process happen or materialize for you?
That started very early for me, that decision-making. Like I said, if I was being graded or evaluated, I took it very seriously. So when I was in sports, almost like Allen Iverson, like, you're talking about practice? Like, when I was younger, I was like, nah. But, oh, we have this is a test. We got to break boards today, or we got to do this. I remember the first time I lost a competition, like, I cried for, like, a day. Like, I was very upset. And then that was one of the first decisions. I was like, yeah, I'm not losing anymore. So, and then it was like, okay, if you don't want to lose, you got to train, right? You're now at an age where, like, hard work starting to beat talent. So you got to actually put in the work. And I remember that was around, like, 12. And it was very, like, eye-opening. And then from that point on, it was always, like, I would see what I want. I would see someone doing something in sport and say, that's what I want. And I'd go figure out, I'd say, Mom, Dad, yeah, I want to play tennis now. I want to do taekwondo now. I want to do this. And then I would decide, like, I would watch someone win a championship or something and say, I'm going to be there. Give me X amount of time. As a kid, we're overly ambitious, right? Maybe now we still are. I would always have some ridiculous timetable that the coach or whatever would be like, you know, it's going to take a little longer than that. And then that would just push me more to say, nope, it's going to happen shorter than whatever you said. Might not be as short as I said, but it's going to be shorter than what you said. The last, and I carried that with me all the way until, like, I was 26. The last thing I did was kickboxing, the last sport I played or participated in. I walked into a kickboxing gym at 26 in December 27th. I got a group on for the holidays. December 27th, I took my first class. I told him I want to fight in, like, by, like, March. And he was like, probably going to take, you know, 6 months to a year. I said, okay, we'll see. And by February, I was competing in my first fight. And that decision-making happens. Like, I see it. I see someone else do it. I say, all right, they can do it. I can do it. Let's just figure out how to get there and do whatever it takes. And I really get focused in on that. Like, I'll stop the game. Like, I'll stop playing video games or whatever. I don't play those that much anymore. But, like, at the time, I would give up whatever those vices were to really focus on that. And I think as I continue to get older, the decisions I'm starting to make is I got to do that in two areas. Like, I got to focus on growing the real estate business, also refining my languages at the same time. Where when I was younger, I would only do one thing and the rest of the day would be play. I'm only focused on one. But now starting to be like, let's decide to do multiple things good at the same time.
You're making me love you. I'm just, as we're all like nodding our heads, we're falling in love with you. And you were saying some really interesting things that I would just want to bring up, and then we're going to bring Peter in about this, is that you said when you were little, it was all just a game. And I'm going to tell you that you made a decision to keep on having a game because we are reveling in your enthusiasm at playing this game at a higher level. You just noticed that Thinking Grow Rich was the game to play. And I'm loving how you're thinking about it. And then the second thing you were saying is you set goals for yourself. So you're just with Taekwondo. And people always say, it's going to be ridiculous. You can't do it. And you said, no matter what. And I will say that opening your own brokerage firm at age 30 and closing in on selling $1 billion of real estate by his 35th birthday, I will guarantee you that there are real estate brokers listening saying, but they don't realize it's the game of creation and how you're using your languages, the melding to the success. Right, Peter? Is that about success? And talk to me and talk to all of us about that.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going through my head right now. I've been writing down some notes. Lucky, yeah, thank you so much for sharing a little bit about your background, a little bit about your experience. I love the individuals that you emulate, in Toussaint Louverture and Malcolm X. Wow. For those of you, again, who have not ever read Haitian history, it's so important to dive into that, especially in light of what we're going through as a country right now. But, you know, Lucky, I was listening to you and your explanations, and I consider you a young man, and I read in this chapter here on decision about how procrastination affects young folks a lot. And I won't even just identify young people. Procrastination affects people a lot. You know, we procrastinate. We won't do what we need to do or make the decisions overall. But it also says in there, in this decision chapter, indecision is a habit which usually begins in youth. The habit takes on permanency as the youth goes through grade school and even high school and even through college with the definiteness of purpose. The major weakness of all educational systems is that they neither teach nor encourage the habit of definite decision. One of the other things I was doing, I was stalking you a little bit online with some of your websites, and I see the success that you've had, especially in the real estate industry. And it doesn't seem as if decision or making the decision, even as you've described, is a problem. What, and I hear you talk about focus, and I hear you talk about, you know, what you set out to do, you go do. How easy is that for you? How has that become easier over time? And maybe even a little bit, what was it like before that in order for you to maybe turn that switch a little bit?
Gotcha. Phenomenal question. Is it easy? I don't know if it's easy, but I definitely know it's simple, right? When I was younger, they at some point wanted to put me in ADHD category. And I realized that there was a test I had to take to get out of it. So I did well on the test to get out of it, right? And what I realized when I was older, it's not that I am not or not that I wasn't or am not. It's just that I just changed the procrastination focus to something else. Like, and I think to Pagin's point, sorry, I'm butchering the name. I'm so sorry. But to the point, like, I think it still is a game to me because I just, like, the example I'm going to use in college, I was so addicted to video games. Like, you couldn't get me off Call of Duty, Madden. Like, I was just playing video games for hours. I'm talking, me and my roommate had blackout curtains, and we didn't know what time it was. Like, the only thing we left our room to do was go to football practice because they were paying for our college, so we had to go to that and play games. That's it. And I just took that same, like, addiction, whatever you call it, like, intensity, right, and said, okay, let's do something that is going to lead to, like, productivity. When I got into real estate, I realized there was a void and nobody was really dominating with videos in Boston. There was some California, some LA realtors that were doing a lot. I said, that's it. I'm going to be the number one video person in Boston. And so one of the first things I did before I even like had a sale, I was like, all right, every day I'm making a video, 365 days, I'm going to put out a video. And I'm just started focusing on that. And I got told by other realtors, what are you making videos for? You don't even know what you're doing. I got told by the manager, oh, well, that's incorrect or whatever. And I was like, oh, but here I have this. I made sure to cite, you know, everything I had. Like, oh, it says right here it's correct. I don't know. Like, and I got told to slow down, not make a video every day, make one once a week because that way they had time to check it. And my response was, no, I'll make it every day, but I'll send it to you a week ahead of time so you can review it. But I'm not slowing down. I've already declared to the world on the video, like, hey, this is going to be a series once a day. I can't just, like, stop after 27 or something like that. And so I kept – that was, like, one decision. I'm going to be the number one video marketer in Boston, and I'm going to make a video every day to get there. So I think that answers your question. I might have went a little bit off, but, like, it's not easy, but it's simple to take that, like, whatever you're procrastinating at and turn it into something more productive. I also get lost watching Netflix, right? Like, I can also get watched. So now I'm like, oh, I want to watch Netflix. I will only watch, like, Million Dollar Listing, New York, which is, like, a real estate show, right? I'm like, okay, I'm procrastinating, but I'm still, like, watching real estate. And or I'll watch, like, a drama that has a good use of vocabulary. So something like a Suits or a Billions, because I feel like, okay, maybe I'll learn a new word. And I can justify, like, at least I'm learning, like, new vocabulary. So I just try to make the procrastination something that I gain value out of. Then I don't beat myself up over procrastinating because value was gained from whatever I was doing.
Yeah, I love that. I love that wholeheartedly. And I'll go over you to Ursula in a second. But I love what you said from the perspective of, and I said this to people a lot of times, we're playing a game, but how well are you playing the game? But you've changed the narrative also, Lucky. You've changed the narrative around your circumstance, as you mentioned earlier, and now almost decided how the narrative is going to play out. And those of you who are watching, You know, we all oftentimes we blame circumstance. We blame the government. We blame our companies. We blame everybody else for the situation that we're in right now. But Lucky has decided that he's going to turn the narrative from both now and into the future. So what are your thoughts on that, Ursula?
I just wanted to say that.
Before you jump in, I just need to say something. Obviously, Lucky, you are touching people's hearts in a way deeply. We have people commenting on Facebook from Catherine Woodhouse and Angela Buttermar and Claire Kumar. We have people on all platforms talking about you. So I'm going to ask everybody permission, and everybody that's watching and listening, if it's okay with you, if we go a little bit over, we usually end at 9 o'clock, but Galen's like eager, and we haven't even touched into, there are people that want to. So if you give us permission to go at least 15 minutes over, would you all just post yes, 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 so that we are respecting you. And Lucky, I didn't even ask you if it was okay if we go 15 minutes over with you, but would you be willing to go 15 minutes over with us?
Yes, I put the yes in there.
Okay, awesome. So it's just that if you only saw what I'm seeing on all these Facebook, and if you felt what's happening with my Ursula and my Galen and my Ann McNeil and Peter, we just can't let you go. So Ursula, can you hold on 1 second? Let me just jump to, go Ursula, then Galen, then Ann McNeil.
Okay, so and to the panelists, I wrote, story says to me is that if you have a child running around the house with an abundance of energy, think twice before you medicate. You may have a genius on your hand, a future Jay Lucky. And then you said what you did. And I have another story of a young man who was married and was kind of like you. And his wife took him to see a doctor. And the doctor said, I can medicate him or he can make you rich. Which one do you want? Because he was so intent on getting the job done, he locked out everything and was just obsessed with moving it forward. And that particular person ended up putting product in 600 malls around the country and became known as the $10 million man because he did not get medicated.
And you know that Galen's not medicated, but he's got something to say.
Perhaps I should be medicated. That decision is out. But yeah, hey. So one of the things that I wanted to do two things. Number one, wanted to just kind of say how excited I am about what you're talking about, and how it's really in this chapter on decision, because decision is really, really key. And for me, I keep going back to the Latin meaning of the word decision, which means to cut off all other options, to say this is how it is going to be. And you know, one of the stories that I love thinking about is on page 152, where it says Socrates' decision to drink the cup of poison rather than compromise his own personal belief was a decision in courage. He said, this is how it's going to be. I've personally had to make some decisions like that about the kind of coach that I wanted to be. And I literally had to cut off all other options, right? There are so many other things I could have done. I had to say no to those things. Although they would have meant money to me, that's not who I wanted to be. And so my question to you, Jay Lucky, is, what's an example of something that you had to cut off, although it would have been kind of a cool thing to have? It might have even made some money, but it was inconsistent with who you wanted to be.
At first, I was like, oh, it's not too hard of a question, but that last little inconsistent with who you want to be made it a little tougher. Inconsistent with who you wanted to be and had to cut off. That's a great question. I'm going to go through a couple of the things that I had to cut off and see if one of them, as I'm speaking, comes to me. So the latest one is kickboxing, right? I love kickboxing. And maybe this is one, right? I love kickboxing, but it's hard to be a kickboxer and a top-producing real estate agent. Because when you sacrifice on one, you really feel it. Like if you don't train, you go in there and you get beat up. And I lost my last two fights, right? I won a title, lost it, like, and I wasn't training at the level that I was training like a couple years ago. I was focusing on real estate. And then when you take the time away from real estate, because you're like, I don't want to lose again, you know, I don't want to get punched in the face this time, I want to win. Then you look and you're like, oh, my bank account looks different. Like, so it's, that one might not be like inconsistent with who I am, but it might be inconsistent with like each other. They don't match. So having to choose one to give up was a battle for two years that was going on. Like, I would do a lot of deals and I said, okay, I got a little nest egg. I'm gonna go focus on real estate and kickboxing and train, win a fight. And then be like, oh, gotta go back to make money. And it's like, I can't get momentum either one, right? So that was one. Going to college, when I actually decided to be an entrepreneur, was my sophomore year in college. And it was a very simple decision. It was not like I had some big epiphany. I walked past a flyer. It said, want to make $3,000 a month? Yes. Right, that's it. That was it. I was like, yeah, sign up. Didn't know what it was. And there it was. It was like this incubator program to see, like, help you be an entrepreneur. But it was that simple. But when I decided to be an entrepreneur, I had to give up the video games. I didn't give up video games because I'd like to say it's because I got mature or something like that. No, I was like, you're a college student, an athlete, and you want to run a business. You really can't play video games, right? It's either the video games or that. Like, it's already hard enough to do just the two. So that was one that I had to give up that was inconsistent. And that one hurt. That one hurt a lot. But it's, like I said, I just made a game out of the entrepreneurship, right? There were other people there. So it became a game, whose startup is growing faster, whose startup's making more money. And it's the same thing as like numbers on a screen when I'm playing a video game. So I just made that the game and then moved on and transitioned to that.
Yeah, I think those are fantastic examples. And one of the things, I'll just put a little quick plug in for one of the things that we have the benefit of leveraging to help us make those kinds of decisions is this annual meeting that that the International Mastermind has created under the leadership of Ms. Ann Neal. This is a place where we go to once a year, usually the first week in January. I think it's going to be January 9th coming up. We go to Boca Raton. We go to, you know, a physical place. Might be kind of interesting in today's climate, but it's a way for us to get together with other like-minded people that are dedicated to this Think and Grow Rich concept, and they are absolutely committed to you sharing what are those decisions that you're making, what are those things that you're committed to doing, and what are you willing to do in order to achieve it. And I'll tell you, the first time I went, I was kind of fooling myself. I was kind of impressed with the things that I was saying that I was going to do until I got there at the table and started hearing what everyone else at the table was planning to do. Then all of a sudden, I had to up my ask. I had to start asking for more from myself. And, you know, because they were asking for commitments, right? What are you going to do? And I had to make some bold commitments, right? I'm not going to be embarrassed by these people that were younger than I was and some were older than I was. So I made some pretty bold commitments, and literally they asked me to write those commitments down on a sheet of paper. And I'm like, okay, not a problem, I'll write them down. Well, last week I received that sheet of paper in the mail. Galen, this is what you said you were going to do. You said on January 4th, 2020, you said that you were going to complete the corporate structure for a consulting business, Kill Global Coaching and Consulting. You said you were going to do that. Do you have that in place? You said that you were going to write a draft of your next book. Do you have that in place? You said that you were going to earn so much money by this time from your retail business. Is that in place? And, you know, this thing is serious, right? So now it's not someone saying this is what you committed to. This is my handwriting. And for me personally, I can say that I'm really excited to say that, one, you know, the structure is in place for my coaching business. It wasn't there at the beginning of the year. It's in place. I've been talking about this book for the past 3 years. Now I've got some work towards it. My retail business that I own, we're starting to do some things, but I think it all comes back to this commitment that the annual meeting challenged me to make to myself. And not only did I have to make that commitment, now I've got this reminder. So I would encourage everyone who's listening to this to find a way to make their way to this program. I've already registered for 2021, and I hope that I will get to see a lot of people there, whether we're either physically there or virtually there. It was definitely worth my time, and I think it'd be worth yours as well.
So I'm so glad that you said that, Galen, and lucky. So there's where you are right now. I want you to introduce you to and hear from. I'm looking at this gallery view, and you're in one corner, and Ann McNeil is on the other. And if I could take Ann, you would know that Ann was where you were, and now she's where she is. And I'm having this, like, oh my gosh, I feel like I see Ann McNeil young, that's you, lucky, and Ann McNeil brilliant, wise woman, our matriarch, our doña, our, you know, so it's just this. Ann, help me out, because I'm going to put my foot in my mouth over here.
Oh, wow. Lucky. We are having an awesome experience listening to you. And I've actually, for those of you that have been watching, my head was going back and forth. It's because I have a page of notes from the conversation. And one of the books that come up for me as you were talking is entitled The Game of Life and How You Play It. All right. We talked about Jeffrey Gitomer earlier while waiting for the program to start. And we talked about a number of different books that you've read. I really have two questions. Number one, I know this is about Thinking Grow Rich, but if you could choose one book that's your favorite, what book would that be? That's my first question. And if you could choose a second, my second question would be, if there was one decision that you had to make in life period that was really, really, really challenging, could you share what that decision was and possibly the steps you took in making it? Because what we want to do as a part of the show is to help our listeners understand how to blank, right? These principles and this philosophy of success that have helped millions of people all over the world in different languages. When we come up to a challenge, which I like to call an opportunity for growth, when we come up to a challenge and we have to make a decision, do I go right or do I go left? Professionally and personally, I call defeat and those challenges and struggles optimization data, right? Because if I make that decision that should have been different, what do I do to then change that decision to make a different decision? So my question to you, number one, what book? Number two, what decision that you had to make was very difficult? And if you could take us through the steps, and I know we're kind of over time, but if you can just share.
No problem.
A couple of those steps, please.
Of course. The favorite book, there's a lot of books I like, but I think The 50th Law, right, is one of my favorite books. That's 50 Cent and Robert Greene. And it's because it's about just being fearless, right? It's about acting, not necessarily so much fearless, but acting in spite of fear, right? And whether you come from the background that 50 Cent comes from or a less aggressive background, doesn't matter. Like, you're going to be afraid at some point, right? And you still got to make the decision that makes sense, the decision that gets you closer to your goal. I really, really like that book. And then as far as the decision, it was hard. So this decision, I think to date, the biggest decision, it wasn't solely my decision. It was like an entire family decision, especially a lot on my father and myself, was when we were in Aruba, me, my dad, my mom, my two little sisters, I decided I wanted to move to America, right? I wanted to come back. Like, I was born here, and then left Aruba when I was really young. And at 17, I decided I'm coming back to America because I was going to either play college football or be an actor or something, right? I don't know what, but America's where I was going because Aruba is awesome, great vacation spot. But everyone in Aruba is in, like, the job opportunities are limited in what you can do, hospitality, working at the factory. So I didn't want to do something like that. So why was coming to America such a big decision? Yes, about the opportunities and stuff we got, but the way we had to get here, me and my dad had to come by ourselves and leave my mom and my sisters behind for almost 2 years. And so me and my dad had to get a one-bedroom apartment in one of the most affluent towns in Connecticut because that's where we wanted my sisters to go to school. But I meant that we had to have a one-bedroom right now so that we could save money to be able to buy a house before they got there. And so I was working, going to school, playing sports. My dad was working at a gym that just opened. And it was a interesting time because my dad and I love each other, but we butt heads a lot. And as going into my 17, 18-year-old self, that we're really butting here because I'm a man now, right? I'm 18. I'm a man now. I'm tired of you talking to me like this, right? So that decision to move with just my dad without my mom there to diffuse situations was a very interesting and tough decision. But it was for the better of the entire family because this way, by the time my sisters got there, we were more established and my mom and my sisters moved in and they didn't have to see the one bedroom. They didn't have to see what it was like to live in a one bedroom by themselves. We left them in a house in Aruba. When they came from the house in Aruba, they came to a house here. They were able to get integrated into school. And moving from Aruba to one of the most affluent towns in Connecticut is very culturally eye-opening. And if you ask me where my ambition came from, that's probably where it came from because I had the energy. I had the ability to make decisions. But the decision to decide, like, oh, we're really going to have to make money in this lifetime came from living there because I remember the first time I asked my dad after a basketball practice, I said, oh, the guys want to go out to eat. Give me $5, right? It's 2009. I mean, because why would I ask for more? That's where I'm used to. I don't need more than $5 to make it work. My dad said, no, you're going to need more. I literally was like, no, I don't. $5 is fine. Like, I'll grab something. He gave me 20. And we went out to eat, and I could only get an appetizer where we went to eat with that $20. And I was like, this is very, very different. Like, in my mind, I was like, why are we at such an expensive restaurant? Like, we just grabbing food, right? And I obviously continued to hang out with them, and I was like, yeah, it's going to have to be different. I'm going to have to make, like, whatever I was thinking I was going to do here is going to have to be, like, 10 times bigger if I want to live. Now, I didn't understand that was just Connecticut. I didn't realize, in my mind, this was America. Like, everyone was living at that level. So I was like, all right, I gotta live at that level. But that was probably the biggest decision so far in my life that had a lot of impact and was tough to make.
I just have to make this comment because what you just did was you took the show and the conversation to another level, and we may not be able to deal with it now, but this is the Think and Grow Rich philosophy mindset shift. It's success consciousness in the thinking, and we do become acclimated, if you will, to those people that are immediately around us. And so that's another show for another day, and we've heard very often, you can tell a lot about a person from the top 10 people that they're hanging around. So I would challenge all of our listeners, check yourself. All right, the game, back to you.
So I am excited to share that we had tons of yes, 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 when I had asked if we could go over time from the several Facebook groups here online. So we are going to continue. It's 9:04. We understand that those of you that need to leave, you know, it's okay. You can keep on watching us on replays and page. Those that want to stay, we are going to continue this conversation. And we're going to continue this conversation because Ann McNeil opened a discussion that I want to be able to have. Before everybody goes, I'm going to ask my co-host because, you know, they're here. So all I want my co-host, real quick, to say, Ursa, how do we get in touch so that those people that have to leave can get in? Because we've got a lot of conversation. So don't talk. just say, this is how you get in contact with them. This is where I'm at, and do that. So you go first, Ursula, and then I'll go Galen, Peter, Ann, and Lucky, and we're going to continue the conversation.
Ursula Odom, Sula Tu, www.sulatoo.com, Sula Tu, LLC, @gmail.com.
Outstanding. Galen.
Yeah, so Galen Bingham, you can find me at killglobalcoaching.com, so K-I-L-N, globalcoaching.com. You can also find me on Facebook, I've got a podcast. It's free. It's called The Leadership Toolbox, and I'm usually hanging out with these guys here on this show.
Go for it, Peter.
Yeah, I took Ann McNeil's cue there. I did put my social media link, so you can catch me on any social media platform at Dr. Peter A. James. Also, check me out at shiftyourmindset.com. Thank you so much.
And Miss Ann McNeil,
AnnMcNeil.com. That's AnnMcNeil.com. And I live on text. That's 786-546-0184.
And my name is Pegeen. Just Google Pegeen. You'll find me everywhere. And know that I work with Power Women Worldwide. So go to PowerWomenWorldwide.com to take your quiz. Lucky, how can people get in touch with you? The show is not over. We're just helping everybody stay connected to us. Go ahead.
You can Google me too, right? J, the letter J, Lucky Henry. Every social media, it's the same. The letter J, Lucky Henry. Everything from Pinterest to TikTok to YouTube to Instagram, I'm there.
So I have a feeling, and I'm going to ask my co-host if they raise their hands. I have a feeling that we've been sitting around the table that we are being blessed with someone who is where he is today, but we are blessed with knowing that where he's going. We all know is like, oh, I know him. We had that show. How many of you feel that way? Can you just raise your hand if you know that we're in that place? And so Lucky, one of the things that you said, which made me, you know, I really want to ask this question, because you said you called yourself a millennial. You happened to share a book, the 50th Law, that was clearly related to you as a millennial and where you are. Are there other books? You haven't noticed. We're a little bit mature. So we may go to the oldies but goodies.
Okay.
I want to know the new that we should be looking at. I want to keep young. So can you just share some other maybe social media things that we should be looking at, things that you're using for yourself that would be even more relatable to millennials and that we should be looking at in terms of our own success growth? Because I'm not going around. I'm living to 114, so I've got a lot of time to invest in myself. So can you give me some of your investment, personal investment, places that you go, things that you do that would help me grow and help me be more aware of people, you know, the new?
Yes, it's not new, but it's new, right? The old has become new. I think that was said earlier, right? It's YouTube is the ultimate. If you make content for YouTube, you will always win, because YouTube is evergreen. If you make evergreen content on YouTube, it just stays there. It's always searchable. Every other platform can come in and go out as a fad. And like Vine was TikTok before TikTok existed, and Vine's gone. And yes, you can transfer that success over, but all that work, if you didn't have a hard drive, it's like actually gone. For the foreseeable future, YouTube's going to be here. And plus, anything you make on YouTube, you can always shorten it up and post on a different platform, right? And link back to your YouTube. You can always write in the description for your YouTube, which gives you blog content, and you can always rip the audio and give you podcast content. So my number one strategy is just build on YouTube. And the other thing about YouTube, it takes longer to build than the other platforms, unless you, you know, hit that viral moment, right? But when you have subscribers on YouTube, that ROI is high. Like Facebook Live and YouTube subscribers, are probably like the two platforms that ding your followers, that like notify them without, even if they don't want, even if they didn't like sign up for that. You know what I mean? Like you post on Instagram, no one tells them that you just, no one tells your followers you just posted unless they click that little bell. YouTube will always tell them like, hey, you're the person you're subscribed to, like did this, unless they go and turn it off. And Facebook Lives always tell you, hey, this person's online. So I would focus like, and I would take whatever you do on Facebook Live and turn them into YouTube videos, right? So that way you're letting everyone around you on your Facebook see it, and then put it on YouTube, make compilations of what you do. That's not a trend, but something that's been around for a while and is continuing to stay really relevant. If you do something over and over again, like I think off camera we were talking about going live for 50 days or whatever, make like compilation videos of that, right? People like to watch compilations, and the reason our attention spans are shorter now, us young people, when you have a compilation video, every couple seconds it's something new, so I'll stay engaged. And if you can string together a 10-minute compilation video and someone watches all of that, YouTube goes, oh, this person's got engaging content. That's what we like. We want people on YouTube. You're helping us keep people on YouTube. So push your content out everywhere.
So I'm gonna act a little bit older. What the heck is a compilation video?
Okay. I'm gonna give you a real simple example, a real quick example, right? Let's say when you're doing your Facebook Lives every day, right, you're gonna say, hey, it's me again today. Today we're going to learn about, like, powerful women in business. Get ready. And then every day, that's how you kind of intro it. You could literally take that intro. If people, like, resonate with that, because every day you have a different cup, a coffee cup, a cool hat, or whatever you're doing with it, you take just that clip and stack them one behind each other and upload that as a compilation. People will say, oh, let's watch her intros. I love her intro. Let's watch, like, 10 of her intros back to back to back to back. And that's a compilation video. And people really like those because they're really engaging and you get a lot of good watch time.
Love it. So going back, Peter, do you have a question for Galen, Ursa? Come on, you know that you're looking at, you know, what's going on as we're talking to you, and just jump in. And those of you that are watching, ask a question right now, because we would love to include you with Galen, Galen, I'm already thinking lucky as you.
Piggy, I just want to jump in really quick for a couple of short comments, and just actually some stuff that has resonated from Lucky and some of the things that he has said. And the quote that you made earlier was, never accept circumstances for what they are. And I love that from a perspective, and that embodies what Ann McNeil was saying earlier about our Think and Grow Rich philosophy. It doesn't mean that you can't be who you are in present, but you're always thinking bigger because you have more to give to yourself and to society. So thank you so much for sharing that. That was for somebody who was listening, and it was also for me. So thank you for that there, though, Lucky. Appreciate it.
Well, I'd like to add one more. Hard work beats talent. Tweet that. Hard work beats talent. Emerson said, do the work, the thing, and you will have the power. And so I think that that's one of the things that resonates for me from this show about decision and the decisions that you've made. You're demonstrating you're willing to do the work. And over time, because it is a function of time, you are becoming more and more and more powerful in your space.
I'm going to jump in here because my thought was really consistent with what Ms. Ann said. I'm reminded, and throughout this entire show, I've been reminded of a quote from another member of my Invisible Board of Directors, and that's Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant said, I've found the secret to success. It's hard work. That's the secret to success. And you have definitely exemplified that, Jay Lucky. And thank you so much for highlighting that it is possible if you commit, make a decision, and do the work.
So I'll add on, in line with what has been said so far, there's a sales statement that I'm not sure where it came from, but you have to be willing to do what others won't so you can have what others can't. And you apparently are doing it.
Thank you.
And I will do a quote from Ida Echeverria to her daughter, when I was very young was just play the game. Just play the game. Get out of your way. Follow the rules. Play the game. And Lucky, I'm hearing from you and Galen and Peter and Ann and Ursula, we learn the play the game way is always is all here. Here are the rules. Here's how you play it. And you surround yourself with people who are uplifted. Lucky, I got to tell you something. You know, you have lifted us up. You have caused us in your focus and your energy and your joy. You've lifted us up in a way of to remind us of what we know is so true. Hang out with the people that you aspire to be. Make sure that you're reading the materials so that you're being who you decide. Have the integrity of living up who you are, releasing and letting those things that you love, but may not be in your highest best interest. I know everybody that's watching, we bless you. We are honored to have you. You have invigorated us, and we only wish you the highest level of success. And I'm going to ask you a question. Because, you know, I'm going up to Boston. My daughter is moving to Boston. So you are coming back, correct?
Coming back to the show?
No.
Yes, of course. I love
it. Now, I'm going to ask you, I'm putting you on the line right now. I want you back on the show, not just like in 6 months. I also want you back when you become the who we know who you are becoming. So let me just get you on record. As you have your secretaries, as you have your golden oldest, let's just be clear. We got access. Is that understood?
Yeah, you're going to be hard to get at some point.
We just want to make sure that we have tape, right, Ann? We have access, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. For everybody that's watching with us and has played with us and spent the extra time, we thank you. We ask you to join us every single Saturday at 8 o'clock. Ooh, and Ann McNeil has a message.
Yeah, I just realized that I was trying to reach Laverne and Doretha because there is a question in the chat on the radio. So we talked last week about people who have questions when they press 1 to raise their hand because this is streaming live on the IMA radio show. And so, Laverne, if you could possibly open that person's microphone, you or Doretha, or chat with them to get their question so that we can honor them since we have been receiving questions from those who are on Zoom and those who are on Facebook. We do want to honor that person in the on the radio since we are going over. So can we open their mic?
Your mic is open.
Yes, I had a question to the individual.
I don't know
individual.
If Laverne, okay.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Laverne or Doretha, can you just jump in?
Last four numbers, 4644. Do you have a question, please?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
The number is 4644. Your microphone is open. Do you have a question?
Well, I'm trying to ask.
Talking, but Laverne, we don't hear it. You have to unmute yourself so we can hear it.
I am unmuted, but every time I go to ask the question,
right.
You ask
so
me, do I have a question?
All right, so this is what we do. We always want to know, you know, technology. It's so good, and then it's so bad. So, kind of like, you know, life, right? So, we are excited to hear you again. Lucky, we only wish you the absolute best. We are excited to have you come back. You have uplifted us, loved us, blessed us, and we just are putting it back out to you in a way that you deserve. And
do you want to share your question with me?
Keep asking back and forth to each other.
It just is. Let me tell you something. We are opening the doors to greatness through this mastermind. And we are mastermind creators and master builders. We are lifted up to be able to serve the world and make a difference. And thank you for being part of it.
Everybody who's watching us, we'll see you again next week at Saturday at 8 a.m. Look forward to speaking to you all. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, everybody. Have a good one. Thank you. And grow rich with us. Thank you.
Goodbye.